So, welcome to today's meeting. Glory to God. So, we're actually discussing the concept of righteousness. The concept of righteousness. Glory to God. The concept of righteousness. A lot. To class. Okay. Concept of righteousness. Ephesians 4, verse 7. Ephesians 4, 7. Verse 7, it says, but to each one he gave grace according, to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Remember, when we're reading this, where we started, we said, when it talked about grace, talking about grace for what? Ministry, right? Was that what we said? Okay, grace for ministry. Then God said in verse 8, therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. And he gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended, what does it mean? But he first descended into the lower part of the earth. He who ascended is also he who is the one who descended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. Now he may give, now he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the final body of Christ. Hallelujah. Now listen, guys. He gave gifts to men. That one is the Greek word. And that is verse 8. When he ascended up on high, he left captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now what does it mean? And gave gifts to men. That is from, he's quoting Psalm 68, right? Yep. Glory to God. He's quoting Psalm 68, verse 18. And he gave gifts. Psalm 68 says, and he gave gifts in men. Do you understand? That word is the word in the Greek, kaididomi, domaho, anthropos. Do you understand? It's the word kaididomi, domaho, anthropos. It's what that means. The word kai is, and that is, didomi, domaho, anthropos. It's what that implies, and he gave gift as men. Do you understand? He gave gift as men. Let's go to Psalm 68 and see how David will call it. Psalm 68 verse 18. That word that you read as unto men is the word that means as men. Psalm 68 verse 18. It says, and you have ascended on high and have led captivity captive, that you may receive gift amongst men. Did you see that? Receive gift amongst men. Who was it talking about? Talking about Christ. Now, that psalm was a psalm of Christ. Do you understand? Glory to God. Now, the word is the word that means he gave gift as men. And the gift here is ministry gift. Do you understand? Ministry gift. That is, Paul will not explain ministry gift. And then break it down to us as pastors, apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, pastors, teachers. These are not actually... say these are miracles. No. Hallelujah. Do you understand that? Now, look at, I'll quickly help us explain a bit of this. First Corinthians 14 quickly for today. First Corinthians 12. Look at verses 20. Okay, verse 28. And he appointed this in the church. First, apostles. Second, prophets. Third, teachers. After that, miracles. Then gifts. Gifts of healing, helps, administration of varieties of tongues. Now, listen to what Paul did. No, we've explained this in one of our teachings, right? Have I explained this? Can you tell me concerning this? Because I explained this, no? There was a teaching I explained this. Hallelujah. So you have to be really studying. They listen to the message. Hallelujah. Spiritual? Concerning spiritual gifts. But we didn't have it published.
We didn't have the IA. I didn't actually complete it because I didn't complete it. That was the period we had CRC. So I said we'll look at it again.
Hallelujah.
I don't have the CD app because we broke it somewhere and then did CRC.
I remember now. Now look at what he said. He said, if you read verses 26, he said, if one member suffers, he's talking about the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Now he said, if one member suffers, all members suffers with it. But if one member is honored, all the members will judge it. Now, you are the body of Christ and members individually. Do you see how Paul is going? Paul is telling us about identification with Christ. Hallelujah. Did you get that? Okay. Now, you don't go to 28. Or go back to verse 13. Verse 13 will explain verse 26. Look at verse 13. He says, or for verse 12, as the body is one and has many members, but all members of one body, being many, are one body also, so also is Christ. For by one spirit we are all baptized into one body. Do you understand that? Hallelujah. Then he now went to 28. He said, God has appointed this. Now, he now used the word, he appointed this in the local church. No, he now said, first, which is proton. Do you understand that? Proton. Which is the first class. Now, when we now talk about the first, look at what he now said, first, apostles, deuteros, prophets, third, teachers, which is didaskalos. He now said, after that, now what Paul just did is that Paul didn't say, see, that's 1, 2, 3. He's not saying these are how it is arranged. Do you understand me? It's a word used for listing. Do you understand me? Paul just listed, just like we could list how many kind of sugars we have done with day, or I can put St. Louis done with day, and put a. Do you understand me? Now, I'm not arranging it in their order of importance. Did you see that? Do you get that? So what Paul did is that Paul just said, Paul, God has appointed in the church apostles, teachers, prophets. Do you understand me? Eh? He now said, after that. Now that after that will not be, he has merged apostles, teachers, prophets as one side. Do you understand that? Did you get that? He now said, after that, what will not be the after that? Miracles, then gift of healing, health, administration, varieties of tongues. So what is Paul doing? Paul has just shown you that in the church. What Paul does is that in the church, there is the leaders. He just told you the leaders and. Do you understand? They're just different what the leaders are. Did you get that? Hallelujah. You go back again to Romans. Paul did something much more similar in Romans. Also, chapter 12, verse 5. It starts again from what? Identification. He says, verse 5, so we being many are one body in Christ and individual members of one another. Did you say Paul was not telling you of your identification, our union with Christ? But yet, in that union, do you understand? We have what? Leaders in the church. Look at verse 6. That says, having made them differing according to the grace that is given to us. Let's use them. Do you understand me? Did you see that? Say, according to the grace, now talking about ministry gifts. And I said, if prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in ministry. He who teaches. Did you see that? Did you see? Did you see that? So, what Paul has just discussed for us, did you get that? What Paul has just discussed for us is what Peter will call elders, what the other apostles will call the elders of the church. Do you understand me? In Paul's writing to Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17, he said, let the elder be who rule. Who is the elder? Do you understand me? Is the word elder is the word that means someone who is elderly or someone who's a leader in the local church. Do you understand me? Now he said, that word, that elders, Paul now breaks it for us. As what ministry gifts. Do you understand that? Will not be Paul will not call it ministry gifts.
So these are the leaders of the church. And the leaders of the church, if, let's say, Paul was to write to all the pastors, look at what he wrote. He said, and he gave some pastors, some head seers, some sales. Do you understand the sales leaders? Save what? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the defending of the body of Christ. Did you get that? Did you understand that? So, did you see how Paul will now identify? So, the ministry gift will now be for teaching the saints. Do you understand it? Paul will now be writing to Timothy. Paul will now mention, if anyone, okay, 1 Timothy chapter 3, from verse 1 to 2. 1 Timothy 3, 1 to 2. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 to 3. Sorry. He says, this is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop, look at that word bishop. In Ephesians, did you see the word bishop there? Are you understanding Paul's style of writing? A bishop is a pastor. Do you understand that? A bishop is a pastor. So there are different levels. From a pastor to become a bishop to have a bishop. You are smoking weed. Serious one. It's not a bishop. No, although we still have a sister. We not to take it. Hallelujah. He said, a bishop. Did you see that? That talks about a bishop. Now, Paul will not, Timothy will now address what? Paul will now address Timothy on the qualities of a bishop. He will now write again concerning what? A deacon. Deacon. Who is a deacon? An elder. Is a leader too? Did you get that? Did you see that in Ephesians 5? Did you see that in? Are you understanding Ephesians 5? So, this explains a whole lot. This will now help your, will not help. Reduce your curiosity of what is my ministry gift? Calm down. You will stay alive. You are on the journey. What is my ministry gift? Am I called to be an apostle? Calm down. Am I called to be called a doctor? Calm down. But when you understand, you yourself will be calm. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me give you a little trick that I did one time. I'm a pastor. And I'm a Sunday school teacher too, while I was growing up in by Little Mustard Seed. So the nun said we should do our ministry gift. I need to be the best. This is not a true test. He said, bro, this is the best test. You people want to ministry as a sir. They don't like ministry gifts. I'm a pastor. Just writing like that, I'm a pastor. The guy said, no. When I've forgotten the name of the website. Say you go there, feel it. Emmatown.com. Say, go and fill it. Go and fill it. Say, you know, this was going back to 2008. I know what I will do. And now where? I say, me at the pastor. My God, I know. I will shepherd. I'm come to shepherd you. I went there. When I now feed, I now say, Evangelist. And I'm then going back. As I said, my own, I will not do it to arrive at the answer of pastor. Children on internet, nobody, you sort it out. I went back again. And I started ticking other questions, answers. Pastor, confirm. Print. See, I told you I'm a pastor. The guy around me, you see, this is a true test. In my mind, it's a true waiting. True waiting. Yes. Don't that I personally. You're not seeing me like complaining. You go click yes. The pastor, you click no, evangelist, you should be in the field, or missionary. Missionary. Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Do you understand what I'm trying to let you see? Do you understand what I'm trying to let you see? That in the church, in the local church, there are those who are leaders, and there are those who are being discipled. Do you understand me? Who said it? God did. Do you understand me? Glory to God. God did. Jesus did. Hallelujah. Do you understand that now? Okay. Now, I say this is who Peter will call elders. Call elders. If you go through the book of Acts, they are written there. Acts 15, let's look at that a bit. Look at Acts 15, verse 1. Acts 15, verse 1. You'll find it there. Don't worry. The time will come, we will discuss Paul's ministry gift. So we will discuss this thing very well. It will take place next year. We'll look at it, we'll grant it. So that you that want to know what your ministry gift is, you will see it well. When lie. When you know this word, the man who speaks in tongues and interprets the prophet will run first. Prophet Bible. That's why before they would have taught prophets. Who prophets are in the Old Testament and New Testament? Hallelujah. Now who is a prophet? The man, you that are doing, there's somebody here who is wearing a green, this, that. Then you are the brother who is just busy teaching somebody the word of God. And when he does it, I don't tell him, you can't speak in that. Then you speak in tongues. And then now, that person is a prophet. You, you are prophesying.
Hallelujah. Let's go down. Let's look at scripture. Acts 15. Now, certain men came down from Judea and taught the brethren, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. Okay? Let's go down to verse 6. Now the prophets, look at me. Now the apostles and elders came together to consider this matter. The apostles and elders. Now, the apostles are elders, so listen, but there is just because of they are the 12, the ones that the Lord chose. These are the ones the Lord chose. Those 12. So in their coming together, they must always differentiate them. The 12. They read chapter 1, verse 14. Chapter 1, verse 14 of Acts. You see there, verse 14, it says, I'm coming. Okay, look at chapter 1, verse 13. They had to call the names of the 11. Do you understand me? Call the name of the 11. Listen, you know. And then the others will now be put some. Did you see what they did? They called the names of the 11 first. Did you get that? And then the others were now bracketed. And the brethren of Jesus too had that seat to show that these ones are now part of the faith. Do you understand me? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Very important. We really don't have that time to look at that today. It's not part of my focus. I just wanted to show us that. Hallelujah. It was part of the study and the teaching I learned. Now, when we talk about the gift, it refers to what? Ministry gift. Hallelujah. Now, in verse 11, it now mentions that. So, you say there are five of ministry. Your problem is calm down. He said he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some teachers, some pastors, teachers. He didn't say some pastors and some teachers. He said some pastors and teachers. Meaning the teacher now becomes the, how should I do it? Now becomes the, when we get to first ministry. But the teachers mean, I will call it fourfold ministry. Tell us that. He now called it some pastors, that is teachers. That's the word and, that's the word kai. That means the pastors are teachers. Do you understand? The pastors are teachers. We are growing. Hallelujah. Then they will understand it. Hallelujah. The pastors are teachers. So you cannot say my role is to preach and not to teach. Calm down, the tramadol should not enter yet. Calm down. Calm down. No! I'm a preacher! You must know when you switch from teaching the Bible to studying motivation talk. Always note that. They are different. Hallelujah.
Now, in verse 12 of that Ephesians 4, we've got to be fast now. We have gone behind time. Verse 12, it says, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. It now tells us the function of these elders. Do you understand? It says, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Right? Four. It says, for the perfecting of the saints. It says, for the work of the ministry. Do you understand? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. It says, for the edifying of the body of Christ. The TV all come. That TV all come. Come and we'll get there. Hallelujah. Till you all come. Come on, we'll get it. Hallelujah. So it is for the perfecting of the saints, equipping of the saints. It's what catechismus. It means to prepare, to get one equipped. Hallelujah. To get something equipped. Okay. And look at that Titus. An example of how this will be done, how you equip the saints, is what we're not seeing that 1 Timothy we looked at earlier. 1 Timothy and Titus 1:9. 1 Timothy 3:1. He said, a bishop must then be blameless, a husband of one wife. He's giving us the qualities of the bishop. See, a bishop must be blameless. I will say this in the first session. We said that where will Paul get this word from? He will get it from Exodus. These qualities, we saw it, right? We will get it from Exodus. Meaning, in these qualities, what is the undertone? The undertone will be the what? What will be the background? Moses and Jethro. Do you understand? Moses and Jethro. Jethro told him. Do you understand? Get man, say, Moses, this thing you do, you kill yourself. Only you are taking it to 3 million people. Teaching them. Is it no? You know, make half cell leaders, half HCF leaders. Let them teach. Do you understand? Now give them the qualities of those leaders. Now, those words is what Paul will now use to teach what? Ministry gift. Do you understand me? To teach the qualities of a leader. That same word. So can you now see? Very important. Remember last week we said when you hear the word the law of Moses, you must ask which law? Because Moses wrote the law of death and the law of life. Do you understand? The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Moses wrote the two. So you now ask which one is which one? They say, law! Ask which one, right? I will now say this is how you know the law of the spirit of life, and this is how you know the law of sin and death. Hallelujah. Moses wrote the two. We'll see them shortly. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you need to ask that question. Glory to God. Then I see why you should be around for all meetings. Don't skip one. You see, one very fundamental issue is if you are in listening to a series and you jump to act two, and I listen to act 10. You are like the man who don't know what log two, how to get log two. Do you understand? If you know how to get log two, you are now going to use, they are now teaching log 2 root 5. Aha, you got that like. You don't know how to do someone. Do you understand? Or a child who had never seen binary numbers. There's not no binary numbers. Base 10, base 2, now see log 2. Log, what is English doing inside mass? Log of. Do you understand? Very simple. So you need to. That is very dangerous. Listening to a message. I don't expect anybody to pick up, understand it. I mean, understanding the gospel. That's not series two. I don't study series one. Series one is very short. Just one track. Just one. Just bamboozling within 30 minutes. You are done. End that series two. You see 15 hours. You relax. Do you understand? Because it's a continuation. There are a lot of things we did discuss in series one, but you need to know series one. Do you understand? Very important. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Very important. So every teaching meeting, you must make sure you are around. He now says, a bishop must then be blameless, a husband of one wife, temperate, sober, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach. Apt to teach. Did you see that in verse 2? He said, apt to teach. A very important quality of a leader. Look at chapter 2, verse 2 of chapter 2, verse 2, 2 Timothy 2:2. He says, And the things which you've heard from me amongst many witnesses, say the same, commit to faithful men who will be able to teach.
Take that word, teach.
Teach. Titus 1:9. He says, hold fast. Now he's talking about the position of a bishop again. He now said, for a bishop, verse 7, must be blameless, a steward of God, not self-willed, not quick temper, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money.
That's greedy for money. Jesus must not be greedy for money. That's what he called conversion. Must not be conversion to Timothy. You know, must not be greedy for money. Come and soak as much the bishop's body.
Stay there. Hallelujah.
Come and touch the bishop's body.
Come and hug your wife.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Now he said, verse 8, not but hospitable, lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled. Not, he said, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince those who contradict. So the bishop was one who is being taught that he may teach. Did you see that? Just do not say. So remember, I said in discipleship, there's no graduation. There's no graduation. Discipleship is forever. A bishop must have been taught, meaning he's not being taught and he's teaching. Did you get that? Hallelujah. Did you get that? Hallelujah. So let's flow. People are not responding to me. I feel you're seeing the word for yourself. So the major qualities of a leader is teach. Or a bishop or a leader is teach. So all leaders in the local church must be able to teach. Not teaching one-sided gospel, but be able to teach all through the scripture. You must be able to go to Genesis and teach Christ. Exodus and teach Christ. Malachi and teach Christ. Teach all through the scripture. Don't say I'm a faith preacher. You're all around that. Teach all. Hallelujah. I've always said that.
Okay, quickly. Does it mean that the apostles, prophets, and evangelists, they made part of the faithful? Does it mean that they also teach us about?
Yes. Yes. Very important.
When you talk about the apostles, before we look at all these ministry gifts that found way,
by that being the ministry gift.
All these ministry gifts that found way, I found in Christ. So in Christ you see the apostle. What was the major, what was Jesus doing while he was on the earth? He was teaching. Do you understand me? So he's the apostle. He's the bishop. Do you understand? He's the pastor evangelist. Did you get? So all those things are found in him. Peter is an apostle. Did he teach in chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 5? Did he teach? He taught. Do you understand? Paul is an apostle. Did he teach? He taught. Did you get that? There are scriptures I will show you from the book of Acts and the talk. But teaching is very important. So all leaders in the ministry gift are teachers first. So you are first a teacher of the gospel. You know that? That is the primary goal of, or that is the primary quality of a leader in the church. Must be able to teach. Primarily, there is no apostle, no prophet, and no teacher. So teaching becomes important and primary. Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Glory to God.
When you say,
let me do it. When we are done, still learning it. So once we're done, we'll do it well. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
So teaching is very important. Is an apt to teach. So this implies that the local church is the place where the word of God is taught primarily. If you go to any church or any gathering, and the word of God is not given first place, it's a town meeting. If the word of God is not given first place, teaching, not SMS. No SMS, not such short message sermon, no SMS. 10 minutes, message don't finish. Say, you know, You don't need to do too much talking. The word of God is not in eating and drinking, but in joy, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. No, you need to have joy in your life. You need to be righteous. Do righteous things. Some of you going to eat in Mr. Biggs. Carry that food. Help the poor. God help us in Jesus' name. Thank you for thanksgiving. Bring out your fat offering to the Lord. We are going there. Isaiah was having to his grave. I danced. When the spirit of the Lord is upon my soul.
Your issue. Your issue is entering through my door.
Seriously.
So the church. See.
I said the day they will be back there. I'm not yet collecting invitation to church. I'm only preaching the wind. What it matters. From since 2006, whenever I stopped preaching in any other place, it's actually my commitment.
You will not find me preaching in any other place.
It's here. I'm preaching. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
For now. Now. When I said something, they didn't invite me. Nobody will sit down and learn the word. We stand 2 hours.
That time you used to dance. We'll stand. Because if you sit down, you sleep. We'll stand. I will teach. 2 hours. We will break scripture. We stand.
No qualms.
Some of you are here, you know what I'm talking about. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, teaching is primarily. Why is teaching done? Number one, we said something. Teaching is so when a man that is sound, that has been taught well, his discernment is sharper. His discernment is sharper. Hallelujah. So, the teaching helps our discernment. The discernment becomes sharper. You know, discernment is not just knowing good from bad. No. No, almost good from good. Slightly almost good from good. Do you understand that? You must know. You know the difference. So, the teaching comes sharper. Because it is in the food. It is in the food that the poison is sad. Poison is never sad. So, the discernment has to be sharper. Do you understand that? Very important.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Look at verse 14 of Ephesians 4. Ah, Lord Jesus. He says, Ephesians 4:14, he says, that we should no longer be children, tossed, throw and fro, carried away by every wind of doctrine, by the tricky of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Did you see that? This is serious. So you see, you are taught to the point that you are no longer carried away by the ways of doctrine. Then what does that tell you? That is spiritual growth.
Hallelujah.
So teaching is to bring about spiritual growth. And spiritual growth will be seen in how your discernment is sharper.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Spiritual growth would also be seen in, he says, for the perfecting of the same, for the work of the ministry. Verse 17 will now say, every part. Verse 16 will now say, from which you hold body, join and knit together, by which every joint supplies, according to the effective working, by which each part does its shape, causing growth in the body, for the edifying of itself is in love. So it means every part gets involved. So spiritual growth will be seen in your effectiveness. In handling ministry. You know, the knowledge of God's word that you have makes you more effective in the things of ministry. There's a song that says, the knowledge of your word makes me effective. The knowledge of your word inspires me to love you more and to serve you all of my days.
Hallelujah.
So the knowledge of God's word makes you effective. So this is the reason why Paul in 2 Timothy 3:16 will now tell Timothy that what? Teaching will bring about what? Paideia, instruction in righteousness. That is what training, spiritual training. So
When he said the teaching of the word, when he said the teaching from the word or from the scriptures, Paul has the Old Testament in the background. So that means what will be taught will be from the Old Testament.
Like as I said, the Old Testament and the New Testament does not contradict. We've said that in this series, right? We said that Old Testament and New Testament do not contradict. The epistles explain the Old Testament, right?
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So the goal of a Bible student would be diligence in studying. Not studying the Lord.
Hallelujah.
It would be diligence in studying. Be diligent in studying. Don't be lazy. Don't be lazy. Glory to God. Romans chapter 10, verse 1. Quickly. Let's look at Romans 10, 1. He says, from verse 1, he said, brethren, my heart desire. When talking about brethren, we looked at who that is. He's referring to what believers, right? All of us. My heart desire and prayer for God, for Israel, is that they may be saved. For I bear witness that they have zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. He said they have zeal for God. Who had zeal? Who have zeal?
The children of Israel, or Israelites. Israelites have zeal for God. See, but their zeal is not according to knowledge.
He said, for they being ignorant of God's knowledge. They were ignorant of God's knowledge. He said, they went about. For they are ignorant of God's righteousness, and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. Did you see that? They were ignorant, or they are ignorant, or were ignorant of God's righteousness. And that says in verse 4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, look at verse 5. For Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law. Did you see that? So, in verse 3, first of all, let's look at verse 3. We stated this last week. In verse 3, Paul said that what they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, went about establishing their own righteousness. Meaning, there are two kinds of righteousness. That's what Paul is saying. Do you understand? There's the righteousness that is from God, or God's righteousness. And then there is man's righteousness. Righteousness that is from the law.
Hallelujah.
That's what we said last week, right? There's righteousness from the law. And Paul shows us that the reason why they went about establishing their own righteousness, which will now call righteousness that is from the law, it's because they were ignorant of God's righteousness. Do you understand that? Okay. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So, the words Paul will call the righteousness that is of the law. We'll look at that now. When Paul says righteousness that is from God, or righteousness that is of God, and righteousness that is of the law, what Paul is saying is that these two kinds of righteousness are not from the same source. Do you understand? They are not from the same source. They are not from the same source. That's what Paul is saying. So in verse 5, Paul will now say, for Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law. The word righteousness is the word dikaiosune, which implies what is proper, what is just, acceptable, and moral. What is proper, what is just, what is acceptable, and what is moral. Diakosune. So when he now says righteousness of the law, is the one that means diakosune ten ecto nomos. And I think again, diakosune, D-I-K-I-K-A-I-O-S-U-W-N-E, diakosune. Ten ecto nomos is the word that implies righteousness that came out of the law. This is the righteousness that came out of the law. Righteousness that came out of the law. You find that word, righteousness of the law, in Philippians chapter 3, verse 9. Philippians 3:9, righteousness of the law, the same word, diakosuneten ectonomos. We saw that last week. Hallelujah. Look at that Philippians chapter 3, verse 9. Let's just look at it briefly. Philippians 3, 9. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is true faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So he calls it the righteousness by faith. Let's go back to that Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 10. So we say righteousness by faith. Romans 10 verse 5. He said, for Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law. The man who doeth such shall live by them. We saw that, right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said, if you read Leviticus 18 verse 5, he said, the Lord said. So we can now see that it was not God that said that, but who? Moses. You know that it was not God that said it. It was Moses. So the reason why Paul will now what? Speak to us and tell us what Moses said. Do you understand me? Very important. Why would Paul say it was Moses that said so? Because in Leviticus, what he was telling them about was what? The law of sin and death. And it has the do's and don'ts. Do you understand? He must do this, he must do that, he must do that. Do you understand? So, and you know, in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5, say God have no pleasure in them. So for God to have no pleasure in them means from the start, God did not institute it. Do you understand? But it was because of the hardness of man's heart. Do you understand? That will not have that. Okay. I fear. So where were we? Where were we? Romans 5. Yeah, that was where we were. 10:5. Okay. So also look at verse 6. You know, we've seen verses 5. We spoke about the law. I mean, the righteousness of the law. Look at verse 6. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who shall ascend into heaven? Or who into heaven, that is to bring Christ down. Or who will descend into abyss, that is to bring him up from the dead. Did you see that? Verse 8. But he says, the word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Stop! Paul is teaching the righteousness of the law. He quotes Leviticus, listing. He quotes Leviticus 18. Now he's teaching the righteousness of what? Faith, which is the righteousness of faith or righteousness of God. He's quoting Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 14. Who wrote Leviticus? Who wrote Deuteronomy? Meaning, in Moses' writings, you find the righteousness of God and you find the righteousness of the law. Did you see that? That is of the law. You see the righteousness that is of God, you see the righteousness that is of the law. Where? From Moses' word. So, meaning, Moses wrote about the righteousness that is in Christ Jesus. And then he wrote about the righteousness that is from the law. Moses wrote YouTube. Did you understand? Did you get that? We are flowing together, right? Okay. Now let's take it a bit higher. In chapter 8, Moses, in chapter 8, said, there's therefore no condemnation for them who are in Christ Jesus. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the word law of sin and death. He said, what the law couldn't do, in that it was weak through the flesh. Now listen to this. He now calls the law of sin and death the righteousness that is on the law. Now the righteousness that is of faith, in Christ Jesus will now be the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. So who wrote the truth? Moses. So when you now hear Moses' law, you now ask yourself, which law? Do you understand? Because the two are written by who? By one man.
Did you get that? Hallelujah. So we said this last week too.
When you hear Moses' law, you ask yourself which one, right? So I will now say, for this, that I said, a Bible student will now have to study intense, right? So based on last week, from where we are, I now gave us an indicator so that as you study, it will help you. When you see where man's work is needed, that is the law of sin and death. And that's to do with man's work. Do you understand? Man's work, man's effort. But take note. Let me now take it one step higher. Take note. Listen, that is when you see, let me put it like this. When you see man's effort, man's work, that is the righteousness that is by what? That is the righteousness that is from the law. Do you understand? That is the righteousness from the law, which we can point to the law of sin and death. Do you understand this? And the righteousness which is of faith, all that a man needs is to believe. Do you understand me? So, man's work is not needed. Hallelujah. Did you get that? Hallelujah. Very important for now. And much more the reason why when God gave them the law in Exodus 20, God spoke the law. Right? That is the righteousness of the law. I mean, that is the law of the spirit of life. In Exodus 20. Now, those laws in Deuteronomy chapter 5, it was now put in stones, tablets of stones to represent the hardness of their heart. Did you understand that? They are unbelief. So, what is the difference? One is for the unbelieving man. Do you understand? So, you now find his works. You have to do this, do that, do this, do this, do this. So, his works is now seen. In trying to please God. Do you understand me? Do you understand me? So, what happens? That is to them the law of sin and death. Do you understand me? Let's move ahead. So, that means Moses wrote of the two law, of the two kinds of righteousness. So, you find them in Moses. And Moses will write the righteousness that is of the law, right, concerning the righteousness of the law, and will write it because of the hardness of their heart. Okay, that's it. We now answered another question last week. Right? We answered the question last week. And we said, we studied from Romans 3 verse 5. That's the question. The question is, let's look at Romans 3 verse 21, It says, now the righteousness apart from the law is revealed. Do you understand me? Being witnessed by the law and prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith, in Christ Jesus to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference. Now, the question will now be, when we read that, look at this, it says righteousness without the law. That phrase, what does Paul mean? Righteousness without the law. Remember, in Romans 1:16, he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of God, for the power of God unto salvation to them who believe, right? In the answer, in verse 17, it says to the Jews and then to the Greeks. That's it, verse 17, and said, in it, which is in the gospel, right? The righteousness of God is revealed by from faith to faith, right? Now, the righteousness of God revealed by faith, we're not talking about levels of faith. I explained that during understanding the gospel. It's not talking about levels of faith. No. There's different levels of faith. Mm-mm. No. It's not the same as what we say, one glory, pa pa pa. Two glory, he's taking me. On level higher too. It is lack of study that is causing some things. You see, the way when you know the scripture, your worship will change. your worship will change. When you, do you understand? The knowledge of God's word makes you effect, even in serving God. From glory to glory, he's changing. Calm down. When you are quoting for is 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Say, for we, building as in a glass, the glory of the Lord. You say we are changed, metamorphosed, from glory to glory, as at the Spirit of God. What did he make you compare this to before? Verse 1 and 2. Tell us, Andy. Say, for you are the epistles, written not with pen, with ink. Say, but written in the what? Fleshes. Written in. It just spoke about two. It talked about the you are epistles, not written in tablets of stones. It makes observations to two, whatever. He said, for you are written in our hearts, known and read of all men. Hallelujah. He says, for as much as he has steadfastly declared to be the epistle of Christ, minister for us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tablets of stones. You understand? If you now read verse 6, if you now read verse 18 to 9, he said, how shall not the ministry of ourselves, he said, but if the ministration of death, turning towards the law, which law? When you hear the law, ask which law? You understand? You understand? Which law? Ah, the law. No, which one? You understand that? So,
scripture is sweet.
I learned some
today, and I'll teach you next 2 years. See how it goes?
Even I'm the same this law.
You know what I think I actually plan to teach when I'm teaching? On the Ten Commandments. I want to teach on the Ten Commandments and the law of Moses. But that will be next year. You know that? We'll differentiate it, you will see it. You know that? We'll see it well. That will be next year. The Ten Commandments and the law of Moses. We'll see it. Ten Commandments.
See, scripture, you will not be afraid of anyone.
You will know together. You will know from Genesis to Revelation.
Then he said, Revelation. Hey!
The way we used to get out of Revelation, I hate it. One giant Joshua, like Godzilla, and we started on the beach. You look with this explanation of the scripture.
Hallelujah. Now look at verse 8. He says, but I mean the ministration of the original engraved on stones was glorious. Did you see the glory? The ministration of what? You know that of death was glorious. Did you see? So that the children of Israel could not suddenly lose beyond the face of Moses the glory of his covenant, which was going to be done away with. He has a verse here. How shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? Do you now see? Now, which glory is he talking about before now?
Was comparing the glory. Hallelujah.
Do you understand? Was comparing the glory of the law of sin and death to the glory that is what? Of the faith in Christ, which will call the glory of the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Did you see that? Did you see that? Then when he now said, we building as in a glass the glory of the Lord. We have been changed. Meaning that building as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, is the perfect law of liberty, which James will call, which is what the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Did you understand that? Now, when we behold it, when we believe the gospel, what happened? We are metamorphosed. From what? From that old glory to where we are now in Christ. Do you understand? So it's not a process after time, after salvation, or during salvation. No. It's what has happened to us in Christ. Do you understand? We were metamorphosed. We were changed. Hallelujah. From that glory to the one that is now. Do you understand that? So it's not from glory. He's taking me. Calm down. Even when I knew the song as your pastor, I've never sang it. He's taking me. Listen to how I sang this. I said, he has taken us. Do you understand? I've always sang it that he has taken us right from time. But people don't want to listen to what I'm singing. I hear the lines. Let's go. Let's continue. He is taking me. Keep going. You understand? He's taking me higher. Oh. Your pastor is singing, he has taken me here, You see yourself? When you want to go, you want to. You see, what is wrong? You see, listen to me.
You know what is wrong? When, see, this way.
Went offline since. Now, if it is verse 24, Abby, where are we? So if it is apart from the law, it then means it was in existence before the law, right? So the question will now be,
listen, before the law,
there's something I want to actually ask. So, okay. Okay, so a look at Abraham, that was what we stopped asking. A look at Abraham will not tell us, or will not show to us, righteousness before the law, because Abraham was before the law. Do you understand? And why are we looking at Abraham? You know, Paul, immediately from chapter 3, now in chapter 4, Paul just started discussing Abraham. You know, in chapter 3, he has spoken about righteousness that is before the law. Then in chapter 4, you find him discussing about why would he start discussing Abraham? Because Abraham was before the law. And also, Abraham was, if you look at the law first mentioned, the word righteousness and the word imputed, is first of all used for Abraham in Genesis. So, more reason why you will look at Abraham in chapter 4. So, it's worthy to note that Abraham is before the law. Righteousness is first used in the Bible for Abraham. So, we can now look at Abraham, just like Paul did, so that we will understand what the righteousness before the law. Jonathan, so that is, when you hear righteousness apart from works, apart from the same righteousness before the law. So, we look at Romans 4, verse 1. It now says, "He said, what shall we say? Abraham our father what shall we say that Abraham our father has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God." Did you see? If Abraham was justified by his works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. Did you see that? He has something really to boast about.
Oh, God.
But look at verses
3. Therefore, what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God and was counted to him for righteousness. That is Genesis chapter 15.
Genesis chapter 15, verse 6. He was counted to him for righteousness. That word counted
is the word accounted in the Old King James.
Was accounted.
That is the word logizomai. Logizomai. L-O-G-I-Z-O-M-A-I. Logizomai. Is the word you find in Romans.
You see it again in Romans 4:4. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace but as debt. That is the word accounted, logizomai. Do you understand me? You find it in verse 5 into 6 again. But to him who does not walk, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Logizomai. Verses 6. He now said, "For just as David also described the blessedness of the man whom God imputes," that is the word imputes. You understand? Logizomai. Righteousness apart from works. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at verses 9. Look at verses 9. It says, Does the blessedness then come upon the circumcised only, or upon the uncircumcised also? For we say that faith was accounted to Abraham for righteousness. That was what accounted. Verse 10. He now said, how then was he accounted while he was circumcised or uncircumcised? Now he's trying to tell you works. That was what I mean.
Works. You know, those guys are guys of the works. They are not circumcised. Now, Paul is now saying, that works you are talking about, do you know what I mean? That works you are talking about was Abraham circumcised. Was it when he was circumcised that he was counted in for righteousness? No, when he was circumcised, but not circumcised. In fact, in Galatians chapter 3, verses 7 into 8, verse 8, he said, Abraham was not a Jew.
But Abraham is not a Jew, he's a heathen. You know what it is? He's not a Jew. See that the God will justify the heathen by faith. Preach the gospel to Abraham. Do you understand me? Very important. So it's not of works. Verse 10, is it? How then is it that come there? While he was circumcised, all circumcised. Not while he's circumcised, but while he's uncircumcised. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at verse 11. He said, and he received the sign of circumcision, a seal for righteousness of faith. Do you understand? He's not called righteous because of the circumcision. No. No. Hallelujah. Of faith, which he had, while still uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all those who believe. Hallelujah. Said, though they are uncircumcised, that righteousness might be imputed to them also. Glory to God. Look at verses 22. He says, I would have loved us to read it all through. But look at verses 20 to 22. He says, but he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was able to perform. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Hallelujah. Verse 23. Now it is not written for his sake alone, but it was imputed to him. I mean that it was imputed, logizomai, to him, but also for us. It might be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you see, that is the word logizomai. Logizomai is the word. If you look at this, what we've read, and if you go to what Paul is saying, we explain this during understanding that. I mean, how many call it understanding what that means? Understanding the gospel. When did we discuss Abraham and on Mount Moriah? Which one is it? Huh? Righteousness. No, we didn't discuss it. Huh? Or was it discipleship? Is it understanding the gospel? No, we do not discuss Moriah. Did we discuss it there for some reason? Discipleship. Yeah, I know it's discipleship. Because we said, because I actually didn't want to teach you during understanding the gospel. Because we have spoken about it. Okay. Let's go to, what did I ask us to open again? Okay. Genesis chapter 15. Quickly. I'm not dwelling there. You want to go and listen to two kinds of righteousness. I dwell there very well. Go and listen to it very well. So, when you read two kinds of, when you study two kinds of righteousness, grab it on the website. When you study it and you read this one, you understand it. Do you understand? You understand the whole concept of righteousness. So you should not listen to the concept of righteousness alone. You must listen to it together with two kinds of righteousness because it's a continuation. But we went back, we are going back a bit to look at some things. Do you understand? Very important. Galatians, Genesis 15:6. Now, he said, look at verse 26, and the Lord brought him outside and said, look towards the heavens and count the stars, if you're able to number them. And he said to them, so shall your descendant be, so shall your seed be. Now, we said, he was referring now in verse 6, and I said, and he believed the Lord and was counted for him for righteousness. Remember, we said he must live in the light of the epistles. So if you go down to the epistles, you discover that what Paul said is that Abraham believed God. What would he believe about God? Galatians chapter 3. Hebrews, we call it faith. And I would say faith would be, where faith is mentioned only in the Old and New Testament, must be in the gospel of Christ. Hallelujah. And we saw the fact that when he talked about this descendant being, was he referring to what? The what? The new birth, right? We're talking about. So he said, and Abraham believed God in what God would do through Christ in the redemption. And the Bible says it was counted to him for righteousness. So you see, within, do you understand me? So Moses will not use that to explain to us the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Isn't it gospel? Do you understand that? So the word logizoma is the word that it means or implies to bring to account.
to charge to one's account, to put something in one's account. Do you understand me? To put something in one's account, to make it visible, to make something visible in one's account. Do you understand that? So it was accounted, it was imputed, it was counted to him as righteousness.
Glory to God. Glory to God.
Now, similarly, look at chapter 5, verse 3 of that Romans. Chapter 5, verse 3. He uses another word in a negative. That is the word. In that little part of verse 1, he said, therefore, having justified by faith, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ our Lord. He said, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace, in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of God. In the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, we also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. Right? Sorry? Okay. And perseverance, character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God is poured out in our heart by the Holy Spirit. A second, I'm looking for something. Okay, verses 12 into 13, I'm very sorry. He says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin.
Have I explained this to us already?
Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin. We discussed this when we're discussing the blood, the throne, and the cross of Christ. The blood, the cross, the throne. Go and get it. I discussed this there.
Please put it in the beginning. Thought you're in the spirit on the Lord's day.
Hallelujah. So he said, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, referring to Adam, through one man sin entered. That is to enter by the doorway. That means that the true one man sin entered the world. And death through sin. And thus, death spread to all men because all sin. Where did all sin? In that one man. Right? Adam. Look at verses 13. For until the law, sin was in the world. Did you see that? Until the law. Which law?
Let's talk about it. Which law?
Which law is he discussing to this point? Unto the law, sin was in the world, and sin was not imputed where there is no law. Take note of that. It says that word imputed is the word elogio. It's not logizomai. Now elogio is also used in Philemon 18, where Paul told Philemon to charge the wrongs of my name is Brother Jeremiah, and today we'll be studying the book of Jeremiah. He loved the book of Jeremiah so much. So when I told him, bro, come on. Jeremiah, he prophesied inside people. He ain't that way. They threw him there. Okay, he said, Onesimus, rather. Now he's used there. That word means to. Is actually used in the negative. Do you understand? It's used in the negative. Hallelujah. Do you understand? It's used in the negative. That is to charge. In the same word, to charge into one's account, but this time something negative. Do you understand?
An offense.
Thank you. Okay. So we can now say, now he said, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin was not charged into any man's account. Do you understand? Because sin was in the world. Huh? We'll get to see that. Sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed. Do you understand? To any man's account. Sin was not imputed. This is serious. Was there sin in the world?
Yes. There was sin in the world, but it was not here. Hallelujah.
Very important. Very important. Meaning, sin was not imputed against anyone.
So, the next question will be,
if sin was not imputed, then what was imputed?
If God did not take record of it, if God did not take into account that, so what was God taking into account? What did God take account of? Do you understand? What did God take account of?
Hallelujah. Are we seriously looking at this? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay, I need you to follow me now. Chapter 4 of Romans. Verses 3. For the scripture said, Abraham believed God, it was counted to him for righteousness. Now to him who works is the wages. To him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justified the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Do you see that? Just as David also described the blessedness of the man whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whom the Lord shall not impute sin. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
So a study on Abraham will tell you, that I'm very, very seeing me, your pastor. You don't want to pass it across to me. I'm choosing my word. Do you understand? Very, very. Now, meaning what was charged into man's account? What God charged into man's account was righteousness, faith in the belief in the gospel. Do you understand? How God charged into man's account. That was what God was taking account of.
Just faith in the gospel.
You see, remember Moses said Paul said in chapter 5, he said, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed where there's no law. So it means that until Moses gave the law of sin and death. Tell you, remember I was talking about the law of life, right? The law of faith. I will say it preceded the law of sin and death. Do you understand? Okay, good. And it was until Moses gave the law of sin and death that sin was imputed, charged to man's account. Because until Moses gave the law, that sin was not recorded on man's account or was charged to man's account. So what was God looking out for? Believe in the gospel. Tell us something. I know something here that is intriguing. I said, this is the reason why Abraham's sin was not made, it was not imputed. Abraham did something for me, right? Shame. Very funny. What's on a big sin? It was not imputed against him. In fact, all the places where Abraham was mentioned in scriptures, you discover that it was played silent. Because why? What God took into account was Abraham's righteous act, which is what belief. You understand? So God's righteousness,
God's moral uprightness is faith in the gospel. That is right. That is what we call God's moral or God's righteousness. Do you understand? See, a man who believes the gospel is seen to be righteous. That's what was taken account of. Do you understand? Taking account of Christ. So, we could say that God never imputed sin, the law, or sin at death. Do you understand me? Imputed sin. On one's account. Remember, the law of sin and death. Listen. The law of sin and death. You know, if you now read Galatians, that should be Galatians chapter 3. Chapter 4, where he said the law was too much. He said the law was given. Yes, we are dwelling on Romans in this story. I said it. But let's look at Galatians. Galatians is calling me. It's calling me very well. Okay. Now, chapter 3, verse 19. He said, but what purpose does the law serve? It is added because of transgression, till the seed should come. That is, listen, the law did not bring sin. Please take note, the law did not bring sin. Sin was in the world. Do you understand me? Do you understand me? But the law imputed sin. Do you understand that? Did you get that? Sin was in the world before the law. So it was due to their transgression, the hardness of their heart. I bought out the law of sin and death. Do you understand? So do not charge this to their account. And that will not be the what? Condemnation of what? Moses accuses you. John 5. Did you see how we are going through scripture? John 5:45. John 3. He who does not believe stands condemned already. Who has done the condemnation? Moses has done it in writing the law of sin and death. Do you understand me? Eh? So there is a judgment for sin. There's a condemnation for sin. Do you understand me? Ha. That was brought by what? The transgression of men. Unbelief. Sclerocardia. Do you understand that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we could say God never imputed sin. The Lord imputed sin. The Lord did. Hallelujah. So God just put that up. And you tell us that what God took note of before the law. If you read James chapter 1, verse 13 to 18, James, this is just a little side discussion that you need to understand, but we'll look at that shortly before this quarter runs out, or beginning of next quarter. Look at that shortly. Around September, October. But we'll look at it today, small, a little bit. He says, John 1:11, he says, let no one say when he's tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil. Did you see this? Let no one say when he's tempted by God. Say, for God cannot be tempted with evil. Nor does he himself tempt anyone. Did you see that verse 14? But each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. That means if God does not tempt anyone. Genesis 22, when you call Abraham's, God tempted Abraham. God tempted Abraham. Did you see how you give back? Do you understand? And how you give back? A piece to explain. Remember what I explained? That was not a temptation. No. Because even Abraham himself knew what he was going there to do. When his son asked him, see, where is the lamb? Yes, they say the Lord will provide. You know that the Lord will provide. That tells you in salvation, God provides the offering and God offered it in our hearts. Do you see that? Very important. So Abraham himself knew what he was going to do.
Bible calls Abraham a preacher. Hallelujah. So he himself was not what he was going to be. Hallelujah. So it was not God tempting Abraham. No. Hallelujah. Was Abraham describing or describing what would happen in the universe? Do you understand me? And who was he showing it to? Who was with him? His son. Do you understand me? Hallelujah. Can we continue?
Okay, let's continue. So, James just tells us God does not tempt any man.
Do you understand?
God doesn't tempt any man. So, look at verses 14. He says, each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and attacks. And when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's fully grown, brings forth death. He now says, verse 16, do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Do you understand? Do not be deceived. Do not let anyone deceive you. God is tempted. That lie. Said, do not be deceived. Am I the one that said it? James said, he said, do not be deceived. Sin comes from man's desire. When sin comes from man's desire. When it's drawn away. He said, but every good gift and every perfect gift come from above. Oh, it does not come from God. From God. Did you see that? So God is not associated with sin. Do you understand? God is not associated with sin. At all. You cannot associate God with sin. Do you understand me?
Aha.
We cannot associate God with evil. You know something that was a little bit not clearly seen in the Old Testament by some of the prophets. Do you understand? But it is true. Do you understand? Aha. Jesus explains God to us and he calls him a loving father. Do you understand? No man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten of the loving father. He has what explained him, exact man. He has explained him personally to us. Okay, hallelujah. So, we said that the gospel was ministered as a promise, right? We said that in this series, we said it in understanding the gospel. So the gospel was ministered as a promise in the Old Testament. And it was fulfilled upon Christ's resurrection. So, faith, that is belief in that promise, that is in the Old Testament. Faith and belief in that promise of what God will do in salvation is called what? Righteousness. It's called righteousness. That is right living. Do you understand? It's called righteousness. Right living. That's what it's called, right living. So, right living is what? Faith in the Old Testament is faith in what God will do. Do you understand? Faith in what God will do. So what is righteousness today? Faith in what God has done. Hallelujah. Do you understand? So just the same thing. Just believing what God has done is called right living. How simple. It's just right living. Once you believe. Hallelujah. It's right living. Hallelujah. It's right living. So because we have believed, hallelujah, hallelujah, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, because we have believed, in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, look at what he said. He says, for he made him who knew no sin sin for us. He made him who knew no sin sin for us. Jesus is that sin sacrifice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. John will say, behold the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sins of the world. Hallelujah. It's that sacrifice that the prophet spoke of. It's that sacrifice that Moses made the children of Israel to offer. It's that sacrifice. So they will now offer it because of the hardness of their heart. Did you see how Moses writes? Eh? Did you see? They will now offer it because of the hardness of their heart. Since you do not believe the fact that Lord, God will give his son as the sacrifice for sin. Have you? They did not believe. God had okay. You will now. Do you understand? So he listen. Listen, that is your in the new world. Listen. In the new world. In the new birth, the
sacrifice is done by God. Was given. The, do you understand? The offering was made by God in our heart. So, you guys are saying, we bring the sacrifice of praise into their hands. Oh, yeah, no.
You just sing the last single. We bring the sacrifice of praise into their hands. The offer unto
yes,
ignorance is just nothing. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Now, because of salvation, in answer, will now offer our bodies.
Jesus is that
as a living sacrifice. Holy and acceptable to to God, which is our reasonable sights.
Did you see?
Do you understand? So we now offer up our bodies.
Paul will now say, I thank my God, who has served in spirit, who was one man, and the gospel of the Son.
Hallelujah. In that chapter 12, we now discuss walking in love. Hallelujah.
Do you understand that?
So our walking love is now our sacrifice
to the body of Christ.
We sacrifice ourselves.
In the ministry of God.
Do you understand me?
And the totality of our being, we offer it
in the work of Christ.
Do you understand that?
But in salvation, who offers the sacrifice?
God.
Where did he offer it? In our hearts. Do you understand? And just believing in what he has done
is right living, is righteousness. Do you understand?
Hallelujah. Look at verses. We are in 2 Corinthians 15:1. Now to him, and God made him who knew no sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him.
Do you understand? I become the righteousness of God.
So the man who believes the gospel is God's righteousness.
He's, do you understand? The man who believes the gospel has the righteousness of God.
The man who believes the gospel
is justified, is righteous. That is why I say, for us, believing in the gospel.
Hallelujah.
And God's righteousness.
Hallelujah. He's the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus.
He is. Because he has believed in what God has done.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He believed in what God has done. So, very important. The man in Christ is the man who is righteous. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. He said, but of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So
Christ has been made for us righteousness from God. Hallelujah. So to believe in Christ, to believe in his work, what he has done, is righteousness. Is righteousness. For the man in Christ is the man who is justified, is the man who is righteous. Hallelujah. The man who is righteous. See, I'm righteous.
By God's standard,
I'm righteous.
See, righteousness has got nothing to do with works. It's got nothing to do with your own deeds. You understand? That's why I say righteousness are apart from works.
Talking about this
day, not being ignorant of God's righteousness, went about establishing their own righteousness, meaning they began to do works. You understand? But on God's standard, in God's standard, the righteousness of God is revealed in the gospel. You understand? It's revealed in the gospel. You understand? So on God's standard,
a man is justified to believe in God.
So we cannot look back and not look at Adam.
And not look at Adam in Genesis chapter 2. Let's look at Genesis 2.
I say we are just running now. I'm just running.
Let's look at Genesis 2. And look back at Adam. Let's see Adam.
Look at chapter 2, verse 1 into 3.
Do you look at this already? Do you look at what I'm doing to understand the gospel? Adam. No, we started from Abel. Oh, it's Adam I want to look at on Wednesday. Yeah.
Well, I already have the notes. It's Adam I wanted to look at on Wednesday.
I want to look at Adam. You know, say, he ate. What did he do?
He ate a belly more. That Abraham has different fruits that he got
you. You don't read the scripture. So they have different fruits.
You see, what you just need is patient reading.
Like the story I told you, you're talking about two trees. And those two trees, when you now read critically from Moses, you now see that is Moses' writing. Life and death. Good of knowledge. The tree of knowledge of good and evil. Right? The tree of life. You understand? That's why it's Moses' writing. Now this guy, those trees was only representing the gospel. It's accept the gospel. So the tree of life will now represent acceptance of the gospel. Remember we looked at Cain and Abel, right? You saw that Cain's the blood of Abel that took a better sin than that of the blood of Judas, very bad. I have a baby. The Ever spoke for vengeance. Don't worry, I was like you years back. I repented, but I've seen the scriptures. Yes, now. Peter, this is just my own, don't this not scripture. Peter told me to Jews, repent, change your mind. So I just changed my mind and I read well. Hallelujah. Eh? And I followed my own teacher and I saw. I said, Do you understand? Just very simple. Just see where. Hallelujah. I discovered that what he was talking about was the blood, the sacrifice of Abel. You go and get the blessing. The sacrifice of Abel was what? Pointing to Christ's sacrifice. So, Abel's sacrifice cannot speak better than that of Christ because Abel's sacrifice was a suppose, was a shadow. Hallelujah. You know that? And we saw that Cain rejected the gospel. You know that? And what God pays attention to is what acceptance of the gospel. You understand that? Yes. Did you get that? So then you know that Adam's issue was what? Unbelief in the promise of God. What was the promise of God? What did he not believe? Look at Genesis chapter 2. Right, Genesis 2. Verses 1 and 2. He says, and thus the heaven and the earth, and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had done. And he rested on the seventh day for all his work, which he had done. Verse 3. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. Because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. Verse 3 is the point. Look at that verse 3 closely. He said, and God blessed it, blessed the seventh day, and sanctified it. That is explaining verse 2. Because in it he rested from all his work. Who is the he? He's referring to. But in it he should rest from all. Who is the he he's referring to? Definitely not God. Do you understand? Not God. Because in verses 2, he said he did what? The seventh day, God ended his work, which he had done, and rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had done. Do you understand me? Glory to God. So the Bible says, shows us that God rested from his work and he sanctified it. So we now say in verse 3, he. Glory be to God. So who is the he is referring to? Definitely not God. Hallelujah. That's what I said, right? I said definitely this cannot be God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let's see that. Hebrews
Hebrews will help us at. Hebrews will now help us with, to know who is that that should rest. Hebrews chapter 4. From verse 1, it said, therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear, lest any one of you seem to have come short of it. Therefore, indeed the gospel was preached to us as it was preached to them, as well as to them, brother, when the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who do believe do enter that rest. You see that? Do enter that rest. As he has said, I saw by my Lord, they shall not enter my rest. Although the works were finished on the foundations of the earth. Did you not see? The works were finished on the foundation of the earth. Now in verse 3, he's quoting Psalms. Do you understand? He's quoting the Psalm, Psalm 95, verse 11. He says, for he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day. In this way, God rested on the seventh day from his works. Where is he quoting? He's quoting Genesis 2:2. You understand? God rested from all his works. Now we see the explanations. See, since therefore it remained that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience. Did you see that?
Hallelujah.
He's explaining that they didn't enter because of what disobedience. What would the disobedience be? The disobedience on the gospel concerning God's rest. Do you understand? And God's rest is referring to being what? In Christ Jesus. Did you understand that?
Hallelujah.
Are you following me? Man of God.
Are you with me? You're following me, right?
Okay, verse 7. It says, again, he designates a day, saying in David, today, after a long time, it has been said, today, if you will hear his voice, you not harden your heart. For if Joshua, referring to, is,
what did you say, Jesus, it's after the end of Joshua.
If Joshua had given them rest, he would not again afterwards have spoken of another day.
Do you understand that?
He said, what is another day? We have another day. There remains therefore a rest for God, for the people of God. For he who enters his rest as himself also sees from his work as God did for his. Hallelujah. Verse 11 says, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest. Lest anyone falls according to the same example of disobedience.
Remember, we're not talking to believers.
Hallelujah. We're not writing to believers. Glory to God. Do you understand what I mean?
We're telling them to believe in the gospel.
Now, listen very well. Listen very well. He's talking about of the rest. And he said that rest is in Christ Jesus. Do you understand me? He's in Christ Jesus. Now, when he said God himself has rested. God has completed his work and has designated that all man should enter into his rest. And what will be that rest? Christ Jesus. Do you understand me? And he said, when we believe, we've entered into the rest. Now that tells you. Christ is it this rest, righteousness by faith, is not an afterthought.
From the beginning.
Do you understand me? And listen. What God said in Genesis 2, verse 3, is that, and looking at it from Hebrews, is that a man enters to the rest by believing in the gospel of Christ. Look at Hebrews 4, look at Genesis 3, look at, put it together.
A man enters into that rest by believing in Christ. That's why I say he is referring to man. You understand? He's referring to man.
So when Adam's sin will not be sin of what? Divorce. Will not be sin of. Do you understand? It's not what says. It's not what people say. Adam's sin has fornication. It's not true. It's not true at all. Maybe Adam. I heard series of those nonsense in the campus.
In the campus, I don't know what I mean. Where you have. 18 people. The room for 6, you had 18 students. So you hear different, those 18 people were 18 people of 18 different doctrines. In fact, at the point we don't have number in the room. You stand up, you are sleeping and go to urinate, forget your space. You just want to hang on the wall for both of us. So we had, I heard different things. We say, Adam ends the app. The app is fornication. Your problem is your brain. And it's Shamadol, I think. Do you need your Bible? You have a Bible. No. What Adam had was apple. I want to say it's a bad one.
We need covering. But you know, as I've told you, Adam's sin was a sin of disobedience. Disobedience to what?
The gospel. Do you understand? The gospel.
And we said there were two trees, right? Two trees. And that would not be Moses' writing. I said before you, life and death. Do you understand? Moses' writing.
Do you trouble me? You see that? Glory to God. Glory to God.
So that's the truth, life. So that would not be the way Moses would now communicate how Adam. You know, I said Moses would now prefigure or would now use figure of speech because of what?
Your heart, right? Hallelujah. So what Adam did was just disobedient to the gospel. He didn't believe. That is what? The laws. I mean, that is the tree of what? Good.
You understand? And that's what Paul will now explain in Romans chapter 5, verse 12. You
understand? So in Adam, in 1 Corinthians, in Adam, all men died. You understand? If by one man's offense, death reigned upon all men.
You understand? What will be that offense?
Disobedience to the gospel.
Hallelujah. So a child of God is justified by faith in Christ. Believing. Hallelujah. Once a man believes, by God's standard is righteous. Hallelujah. When a man believes the gospel, by God's standard is righteous.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. So by God's standard was Adam righteous? Answer.
Yes, sir. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So I'm saying, just after me, I'm God's righteousness. I'm God's righteousness. Because I believe in Christ.
Hallelujah. By God's standard, I'm righteous.
Hallelujah. I'm righteous by faith in Christ Jesus.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Now with this said, you can now go ahead and ask. Listen, you know, there are some people that just want to be, are you righteous? No, I don't know this scripture.
Hallelujah. Listen, sometimes are you righteous? Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Why did you say you are righteous? At God's standard, I'm righteous. And God's standard is my standard. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Are you being blessed? Glory to God. Let's stand up even as we pray.